Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We'll get to the bad news in just a minute. I think most people are expecting what that's going to be, but we'll start with the good news as we normally do, and it's good news in a slightly bizarre way. We're going to look at this Solyndra report that House Republicans put out. The news is not actually that good when we discover what the Obama administration was doing, basically bullying for loans to continue, for lack of a better phrase, because it was obvious to a lot of different investors that this was not a good idea moving forward. But because of the political and public investment that the Obama administration had made in Solyndra and other green energy firms, they just decided to put their nose to the grindstone and plow forward anyway, even though it was obvious that it was only going to get worse. And so the Democrats, Jim, are firing back that this is a partisan report. The Republicans are saying this is just further evidence that the Obama administration was doing this for political reasons. And if anyone's wondering what the good news is here, the good news is that we have confirmation, essentially, that this was what we thought it was. The fact that we've got a little transparency on it is good.
Yeah, one of the things that kind of jumps out at me, Greg, is when you make an argument about crony capitalism, sometimes people kind of shrug their shoulders and say, they're all a bunch of crooks, what are you going to do, and all that stuff. Sometimes you need a really good, vivid example. And I think Solyndra is about as good an example as you're going to find. And so, what was new about yesterday? Well, one of the things that was interesting was how utterly invested, no pun intended, the White House was in the perception of Solyndra being a success. And like I said, there was an email from one of the White House staffers. First of all, predicting this was going to create 3,000 jobs. And obviously, we now know that today Solyndra has created zero jobs because the company's bankrupt and kaput. The message was, when government plays a part, it can bring the private sector along. Well, obviously, it did not turn out that way, which is a pretty bad example. But other things in these emails indicate just how out of control the circumstance was. One of my favorites was an email from a Solyndra investor by the name of Brad Jones, sending an email to the chair of Obama's Council of Economic Advisors, and basically said, it was revealing the numbers of Solyndra and saying they have revenues in less than $100 million. They're getting a government loan of $580 million. Quote, I can't imagine it's a good way for the government to use taxpayer money, unquote. And then he says in parentheses, I prefer my opinion of that specific company to be between us. Solyndra investors are emailing the White House incredulous at how fantastic the loan that they're getting is, telling the White House, this is benefiting us, but even we have to admit this is not that good. Very foresighted words that this investor says, look, every administration seems to think it knows better than the private markets how to allocate capital, and I've just never seen that to be true. Then further on, in another email message, there was an observation that feels like Rahm wants this too, meaning the Obama event at Solyndra. POTUS involvement was Rahm's idea. This is referring to former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel, when asked about Solyndra, said he didn't remember any particular details relating to that. And this email blatantly contradicts that. And then the other thing which I just found most revealing and creepy, this is May 8th, 2010. Some figure in Solyndra, whose identity is blacked out in the records that have been released by the House Commerce Committee yesterday, is talking to a top staffer of one of Solyndra's biggest investors, George Kaiser. He says, I think there is still a plan here. He says, we're not going to have our IPO. Our long-term business plan looks to be somewhat in jeopardy. And then he says a few paragraphs later, I think there is still a plan here to getting a solid return out of Solyndra for ourselves and our friends and family shares alongside us. But we have pushed out any positive event until 2011 and perhaps 2012. Very early on, the signs of trouble were there, the signs that they were, but don't worry, there's a plan for us to get our money out. What really jumped out at me, Greg, is that this is 3 weeks before Obama does his event at Solyndra. Meaning the folks in Solyndra knew that they were running into serious trouble, and they still let the president go out there and say that this is the future of American business and the American economy runs on companies. Like there's a lot of reasons to not like Solyndra, but in a way, they really hosed Obama, and I'm cleaning up my language there a bit, by letting him go out and do that event when they knew things were so bad. So this is just an egregious top to bottom waste of taxpayer dollars. Everybody is acting to protect themselves. Everybody was doing their best to make sure that their butts were covered and that they knew the taxpayer was being put at great risk. Nobody cared. And it's as pretty much as bad as we think. And boy, if Republicans can't, you know, score a winning narrative out of this one, if they can't score points, if they, you know, this is about as bad a and vivid an example of government and private sector getting in bed together and wasting taxpayers' money like crazy. And this, you know, the administration deserves every single hit they're getting on this. And hopefully there'll be a lot more to come.
Speaking of all the jobs lost at Solyndra, let's move on to Martini number two now. And the July jobs report that came out today, 163,000 net gain in jobs, unemployment up to 8.3%. It's double the jobs that were created in June. Yahoo! But we're still way behind where we need to be. Also being reported, 150,000 fewer Americans in the workforce. So there's essentially a washout. Also, when you look at some of the different demographics here, Jim, the real unemployment rate, as people call it, at 15%. Black unemployment, 14.1%. Latinos, 10.3%. Teenagers, 23.8%. So why those demographics are still in the numbers they are for the president is a little bit baffling, but this economy is not working for anybody.
It's not. And, you know, yeah, it's better to have 163,000 jobs created than some smaller number. Usually the number people say for replacement rate is in the neighborhood of 100,000. But really, to get a real sustained recovery, you need closer to 200,000, 250,000. And so this is not really moving us. You know, this is barely keeping pace with it. The folks at Zero Hedge raised some really glaring red flags about the adjustments to the seasonal, what they call the seasonal adjustment to the numbers, and the adjustments to the numbers of births and deaths and how the Bureau of Labor Statistics calculates those things. But look, in the bottom, you know, unemployment's up 0.1%. The economy's lousy. It's been lousy. It has been lousy for 4 years. Go back to fall of 2008, and somebody was pointing out to me recently, you know, really much of 2008, we were kind of sputtering. So you really go back to about 2007, the last time the country really had serious job creation and economic growth. And the forecast is not looking good. And so the idea, I mean, it's just become this sad ritual. The first Friday of every month, we tune in to CNBC. You hear all the anchors suck in. And everybody, there's another lousy number. The administration apparently is pointing out that when you really get down to it, it was only 8.259. It's not really 8. That's the spin coming out this morning, Greg. this is, you know, 42 straight months of 8% unemployment. According to the Obama stimulus charts, we were supposed to be around 6% by now, approaching 5%, and we're not. And so the idea that anybody thinks we're going to get dramatically different numbers from the next 42 months under Obama's policies than we've gotten from the past 42 months under Obama's policies strikes me as spectacularly wrongheaded. We know what we get with Obama. This is it. And I really think, you know, under Obama, to quote Jack Nicholson, this is about as good as it gets.
And just to remind everyone, if the number of people who are in the job market when he took office were still in the job market, what is it, Jim? A little bit north of 11% would be the actual unemployment rate right now, as it's currently calculated. And again, the real unemployment rate up around 15%. On to Martini number three now, and speaking of credit that's not due, Jim, did you hear that the president's up 10 points in a new Pew Research poll? Yeah, it's true. 51-41, and turns out Mitt Romney's negatives have gone up to 52%. Just a slight problem with this poll, however. You have pointed out in the past, always look at the sample. This poll had a Democratic skew of 19 points, which I'm pretty sure in reality means Mitt Romney's ahead.
Most polls that have a partisan breakdown of their sample that's in the neighborhood of what you'd expect, the results are close. And I don't think too many folks would be surprised by that sort of result. There are some pollsters who believe that this, you know, bounces around a great deal. But most people would figure, well, look, if you have a whole lot of Republicans in your sample, the Republican candidate's going to do better. And if you have a whole bunch of Democrats in your sample, the Democratic candidate's going to do better. And, you know, most independents usually split somewhere. You know, if they don't split 50-50, you don't see a much of a split beyond like 60-40 amongst independents. That's what makes them independents. So the pollster getting this important, if you want to use a poll for a predictive purpose or to get a sense of what the likely outcome of a coming election is going to be, then you have to try to get it somewhere in the neighborhood of what the electorate's going to look like on election day. And nationally, you know, the absolute apex for Democrats was a 7-point margin, and the worst it's been for them is dead even in 2004. So I have no problem with a pollster having more Democrats in the sample than Republicans. I just ask that they keep it normal. You know, I'd say, you know, two, three, four, maybe even 5 points, maybe even six. You know, but once you get into that, I mean, once you get to the 6-7 range, you're basically saying you think it's going to be like 2008 all over again. But generally, you know, 2008, the economy was in a free fall. There was a great deal of Bush fatigue. The Democrats had a candidate who they saw in messianic terms. Quite a few Republicans did not have a warm and fuzzy feeling towards John McCain. I mean, you look at 2008, it really was about a perfect storm for the Democrats in that. And, you know, they're not looking at another perfect storm environment in 2012. It's not quite a perfect storm for Republicans. 2010 was something in that neighborhood. But you're probably going to get an electorate that's going to look somewhere between 2008, fantastic for the Democrats, and 2010, fantastic for the Republicans. This is what makes things, you know, fantastic. When you put out a sample that is three times better for the Democrats than the actual results of 2008, it's absolutely baffling. And one of the things that's really baffling is how many pollsters really don't even want to talk about this. Hugh Hewitt had a gentleman from Quinnipiac on his show yesterday, and Hugh just kind of starts saying, look, do you really think, you know, as you suggest in your poll, Democrats are going to turn out 9 percentage points higher than Republicans? And, you know, he says, look, our record has been very good. Our record, he's like, really? Do you really think a nine? You know, and he just says, yeah, what I believe is what we found. It's a short interview. I hope this guy, Peter Brown of Quinnipiac, could kind of say, look, here's why I believe this. If you really want to say one party is going to have phenomenal turnout and the other one isn't, I'm willing to hear out your arguments. I mean, it's possible these things could happen, but these polls just assert these things, that it's going to be the best day for Democrats ever in terms of, you know, turning out their base. And it just doesn't come through in other polls. As I was discussing with my friend Cam Edwards last night, you look at something like Wisconsin, certainly suggests that Republicans aren't depressed and they're not going to, you know, be lethargic on Election Day. And you look at something like the Chick-fil-A protests. I mean, there's a great deal of energy in the conservative grassroots right now. Could that dissipate between now and November? Sure. I don't think you can really just assert that this is just going to happen. And it's a kind of surprising how many pollsters don't want to address what strikes as a really legitimate concern. This is indeed a crazy, crazy martini, Greg.
Yeah, we've been upset about 9 or 10 point bounces in advantage for the Democrats in the past. This is beyond the pale. But if the actual more realistic samplings show Romney doing well, expect more of these, particularly from the likes of NBC News, as we get closer and closer to Election Day, to make Obama supporters think they still have a chance and not depress his base, what's left of it. Jim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Monday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.